Do you like talking now?
Fletcher and Rich.
Open your mouth wide.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Fletcher and Rich. Trey Flowers. Responding to Greg Bedard, Marquise Flowers, whatever. Responding to Greg Bedard's critique of him at the Super Bowl in his play, insulted him by saying,
"You all got the answers more than Coach Belichick has been to more Super Bowls than you have been with women." And as we know, Bill Belichick's been to 11 Super Bowls. By the way, he's not very good at like the whole clapback on Twitter. Because after Lane Johnson made that comment about, it's more fun to win one and have a good time than win five and not, Marquise Flowers tweeted, yeah, he's clearly, and put three, like, emojis that have Z's above their heads, a lot of hot air. Five Super Bowl wins is five times more fun than one. Well, I don't see him with any of those tweets getting the gif where the people are like, damn, underneath it.
Or not
good at insulting people.
Or caring that the guy said that.
Right.
I mean, what do you care?
Well,
but he's saying that you're not having fun? Like, whoa, what an insult.
Have more fun.
Yeah, what do you care if he thinks you're not having fun? All right, so anyway, 11 women. Rich contends 80% of the population has not slept with more than 11 women. I say 50. What did you say, John?
Mike's on. I think you're closer to the truth than he is. I think that,
and maybe I'm wrong on this.
I think
the majority had not slept with.
I think
11,
your lovely relationship with your wife has cluttered your judgment.
Right. Maybe, or maybe I just have gumpy friends.
That could be it.
That's probably it too.
Nate, go ahead, sir.
Hey guys, what's up? Steak and eggs.
What's up, man?
So I'm 25. I got about six close friends, and all of us have had at least, between 12 and 30 girls. So at least that's my demographic.
All right.
I definitely agree with Fred that I think it's about 50-50. There are definitely people who just have the girlfriends or just, kind of stay inside, don't really be that social. So I can see both sides of it.
All right. So is this, how old, 25?
Yeah.
Okay. So is this like a Tinder situation? Or,
there definitely has been Tinder, but mostly, I mean, we go to bars, we're social, I think we're all pretty good looking, athletic, so maybe it's just, maybe we're just lucky, but there is a little Tinder, but we're also social people, so.
Right, when you use Tinder, is that like an understood thing sometimes that like this is for sex?
Yeah, not straight up for sex, but at least it's not for finding girlfriends and making long-term relationships. It's hooking up, getting a drink or two, getting some food, and definitely for hooking up. Yeah.
Tinder has changed things. That is true as far as the amount of people who are hooking up. But I mean,
also have to have someone, swipe up or whatever, that was swipe left or whatever the hell you have to do on Tinder.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some nights where people just get desperate and everything swiped right.
Yeah, guys, I don't know how many girls. I wonder, because there's got to be a night where if you're a guy, I know it would have been me, where I would have just been like, all right, yeah.
Did I tell you about the time I took over Nick's Tinder account?
No.
No.
It was after the hockey game that we all went to, the basketball game. I just took over Nick's Tinder account, and I just started swiping right on everything, and he was getting responses back, like, real quick, like, people wanting to talk. And I was like, this is, like, amazing.
Nick, have you used Tinder and got laid from Tinder?
Yeah.
Okay, so
everyone, now, if you're on Tinder and you've used it, chances are you've hooked up, correct?
We know people that have been on Tinder for years and not hooked up.
Yeah, we do.
All right.
It's a good point. Yep. See, that there you go. There's a whole universe of people like that.
Right.
That skews this scale.
I don't know. You got to figure at one point. So, all right. So, Nick, when you are on Tinder.
Yeah.
And, all right, so the person engages with you and you start talking and you agree to meet up. It's generally that night, right?
No.
It's generally not that night.
Well, no, not really. I mean, I've talked to people for like 2 days, 3 days before meeting up.
All right. What percentage of people that you've met up with on Tinder have you slept with?
Like percentage?
Yes, percentage.
I mean, it's like 50-50.
Okay. What percentage do you hook up with?
Have sex with?
Oh, Nick, did everything but sex. You have, or anything.
What was the first question? Sorry. Were you asking?
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Okay, so.
Goodbye. It's okay. It's okay. You got confused.
The final results of the poll that we have so far is that, and then once again, there's also probably a bragging factor here, but close to 60%. 50% say that they've done more. So, I'm sorry, I've done less. 58% of them said they've done less.
So, I said, have you had sex? Do you have sex with all these girls? And he goes, no. But I said, then, well, what percentage do you hook up with? And then he didn't understand.
Well, I'm obviously very naive. I thought the number would be a lot higher of people who have done less.
Randall, go ahead, sir.
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's up, Randall?
It seems that I always call in when this subject comes up. Rich, I noticed over the last few weeks, you talked about Japan and your interest in it. I lived over there for 3 years for the Navy, and I toured around there, and their opinion about sex is very different. I can confidently say that my number is well above 50, and not because I was going for any number, but mainly because it's not as taboo over there.
Yeah, but they have
here
to pixelate the penises in their porns. Rich, you have been talking a lot about your finest from Japan lately.
I don't know.
Sure.
Yeah, I guess.
There's sexual mores of Japanese people, apparently.
I have not heard anything about that. But all I know is that this is it's enlightening. Either way, it's a dumb insult. It's a bad insult for Marquise Flowers.
I don't know.
Maybe he didn't know how many Super Bowls Bill Belichick had been to.
I don't know, but Marquise Flowers has probably been with a million chicks.
Well, that's not, I mean, even, and right, if you're an athlete, your whole perception is skewed about how successful guys can be with women.
Right, and there's certain, like, you know, there's certain, like, schools where everyone's, like, having sex all the time, and, you know, like, how many girls do you think Brandon Merriweather's been with?
Well, he told us about that. I mean, that's unbelievable. He said he's never had to really try.
Right.
I mean, since he can remember, he's never had to try.
Yeah, like, it's like some ridiculous...
Which, you're an athlete, and you're right, and then there's, you know...
Well, not even like an athlete. Like, before he could be, even be considered an athlete, he was having sex.
It is strange.
So, yeah, if you were single, and say you had sex, I don't believe that anyone had, like, a racked up huge numbers in high school. I just don't believe that. Like, I'm talking about, like, I don't... I mean, high school... Very difficult, depending on where you went, I guess. But if you didn't go to college or you went to a big school, I would imagine that you easily, from 18 to 22, can at least get 10. I did not. Christina. Christina, hello.
Christina's not up.
Oh, sorry. Christina, hello.
Hey, what's up, Christina?
Hey. My husband is A, going to kill me that I'm calling in. He's the longtime listener. I'm just doing this on a long car ride. But I also want to shout out, it is our anniversary this week for 10 years.
All right. You've laid enough groundwork that nothing's going to happen.
So, but we're in our mid-30s. And I have to say, I went to a Division I school. I'm from Wisconsin, so I went to University of Wisconsin. So I've done all of that under my belt. Came to Massachusetts, where I met my husband, where he was an undergrad at Emerson, and completely different dynamic there for girls trying to get laid. If you are a girl there, you are going to get laid. I'm not saying this is me, but there are certainly, there were the girls in our journalism department who were always getting action. And
well, Wisconsin is a big school. So how many times did you have sex where you had the ability not to see the person again?
I did not, actually, all through undergrad. So I am one of the rare ones. And I have to say, my husband also is one of those rare guys. And I think I want to say that more guys probably are higher on the scale. And I think it is rare to find that one guy who will wait.
Well, yeah, losers.
Yep, we're all diamonds in the rough.
Yeah, that's right. All of us are different.
So in Wisconsin, you never had sex in Wisconsin.
I did not.
Oh, but
all
please.
Of her friends did, not her.
Please.
She's not from Wisconsin. Listen to her accent. No.
Wisconsin is a huge school with, like, attractive people. You're such a liar. What's your husband care if he had sex in high school? You know, my wife did not have sex in college. Did not have sex in high school or college.
She's waiting for you.
No, then she, I think, kind of went buck wild for a while there. But,
her pre-Goldberg years, the ones right before she met you?
No, that was right in the height of the Goldberg years.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I don't think she's been with 11 guys, but... I don't believe you, Christina. I don't believe
But we appreciate
you.
The call. Thank you very much.
I don't believe Christina. That's
well, I guess there's only one way to settle this, is just we contact Greg Bedard and say, how many women have you slept with?
All right.
That sounds fair.
Is Marquise Flowers correct?
I'm sure he insults you and says that. I'm sure he's listening.
I remember I used to go to Michigan State like just to visit, and I would be like, oh, my God, this is insanity. It's such a big school. And you would go to a party, and you would get meet a girl, and you would go back, and you would have sex, and then it was it. At Rollins, you were trapped in a bubble. There's no way that you could avoid the person.
My school was smaller than yours,
so that took away the anonymity yep. of it, and therefore made it much more difficult because you were going to see him every day. But if there's an environment where you very well, if there's 40,000 people on campus, you know, you're not going to see him again, and that was so... Great.
Somebody said, I swiped right like a million times before bed one night. Woke up, had a message from a girl, and 5 years later, we're married and have a kid. Huh? So there you go.
See, that's new. When I remember I used to get drunk in college, and we had a list in my, this was my senior year in my house, and a list of like girls' numbers, and I remember more times
you just
that
go
I would,
down
like,
the list?
No, I'd wake up with the phone in my hand and the list on my stomach.
Oh,
and
no.
Like, What did I do?
What did I say?
No, I would call. I called every one of them up. They could tell that I was absolutely annihilated and probably hung up on me. That's what would happen. And I went to a school of 2,000 people or something like that. All right. Is Troy Brown here? All right. All right, they're on their way.
Okay.
All right, do we know what we're going to do with him?
We're working on it right now in the other
okay.
room.
Okay, all right, very good. Here's the CBS Sportsman with Boomer Esiason, brought to you by Wilson Farm. Boomer says U.S. snowboarder Red Gerard?
Yeah, he's the 17-year-old kid.
No, wow. that's the woman, that's the girl. Chloe Kim is 17.
No, I thought Red was, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's like 150 pounds, and he's the guy who had to borrow his friend's jacket.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Well, regardless, he is a certified star.
It's TNR 98.5, the Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Dutcher and Rich.
That's an unfortunate promo.
Why?
Says, you want the sex of the home run. Which is a weird thing to say.
Yeah, it's a little strange.
And then Maz says, yes, and those guys are gigantic.
So it is unfortunate.
Yeah.
Like the sex of a home run?
It is weird. I know what you were trying to say, but that's...
Really strange adjective.
It is weird, yes.
The sex of the home run.
It's very weird.
Equating a home run to like being sexy?
I guess so. Can we get a hold of Roach? I this is kind of freaking me out now because Dan has been like nowhere to be found.
He's been underground the last 48 hours. Very strange.
Can you text Dan and see if he'll do 8 o'clock?
Let me text him too because this is very odd. Dan is very
has he been on
vocal.
The social media?
You know what? I think
all right,
he,
if you don't know, Dan Roach for the first time in 20 years is not going to spring training. And without any kind of joking around, we'll joke around about it, but without any kind of lying, he legitimately, it's his favorite thing to do. And, like, his family will come down for a while.
Just no one loves baseball more than this guy.
But like, no one loves spring training more than this guy.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
Like, he loves baseball, but spring training's his baby.
A lot of tweeting about the bean pot last night for Danny.
Yeah, I think he had to cover the bean pot. And can you imagine... If you're you'd usually be flying down right now, pitchers and catchers.
No, he'd be there already.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He wouldn't be at the bean pot. He would have been there yesterday.
He's gonna be doing the stupid bean pot.
Like he's the one guy that gets me excited for baseball season. Because to be honest, it's tough this year. It's been tough because other than Alex Cora and Pitbull, the picture of him looking like Pitbull walking on the street, there's nothing to get really excited about.
No, not with the Red Sox. There's plenty to be excited about.
I'm talking about with the Red Sox.
Yeah.
So, but every time, every year, no matter what, when Dan Roach comes on, he talks about baseball in this way that normal people don't. He does this poem thing, and by the end of it, I'm legitimately excited. Like, he's the one guy that gets me excited for the season. And we need to find out what happened.
Zolak says that he had texted Roach and that Roach has not replied. His theory is that he's dead.
Well, no, he's tweeting.
He was at TD just about the last beat night.
Yeah, but see, that's like he's doing that just because the man tells him to.
Right.
I mean, that's what he's doing. He's saying, screw this.
The people got it. They got to get him down there.
Well, I mean, you know, they don't have the budget.
Is that the reason?
Who told me yesterday that they had, I think it might have been Dan, told me that they had, like, blown their wad on the whole Super Bowl. So they
yeah,
were.
But a year's past, Super they've Bowl done that.
Plenty of times, and he still
I don't
goes.
Know if there's budget concerns now that they're not under the umbrella of our radio station, who is all our money got funneled to the TV side.
You see, I would believe if somebody said that there just wasn't enough interest. Like, we've done marketing research, and people have said, you know what, people aren't really thinking
but
about the Red Sox
bad
yet.
Red Sox team. He's been there 25 straight years.
Of someone's going to be there. Someone's going to be covering it.
From his station?
Oh, yeah.
And it's not
him? Yeah, you got to have someone at spring training.
How do you leapfrog Dan Roach?
Wait a second. There's no interest? You have to have someone at spring training.
Well, I agree, but why is it Tampa Bay? Dan?
I don't care what the hell team that you're covering.
Unless there's just some, I don't know, they sent the CBS affiliate from down there.
From Fort Myers.
From Fort Myers to film.
I guess theoretically you could just pay to have a...
No. They sent a local guy down there. Now, maybe they'll pop in and out. Like, they're not going to have them down there, you know, for 2 months straight.
It can't be that expensive. I mean, think of the lodging in Fort Myers. I mean,
every year...
Think of Roach's expense report.
No, Danny goes down for 1 week.
All those Cobb salads?
Oh, that's a good point. How many rolls to the Pizza Hut? He goes once.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, you know, but he goes to the Hut and he just takes advantage of the salad bar. If you're getting those expenses, I mean, you're in trouble.
Yeah, you're paying for Dan to go down for 1 week, the first week of pitchers and catchers, and then he comes home.
Right, no, he's down there for more than that. He's embedded. He's embedded for a month.
I didn't think it was a month.
Oh, yeah. He stays in one of those long-term hotels. Yeah, he says every year. And by the way, he does call-ins for like a month, three times a day to the station.
I just texted him. I said, hey, Roach, call us. We're worried about you.
He's not going to get back to you.
Yeah.
Because you know he's just in bed with liquor bottles and Chinese food cases.
He wakes up with baseball cards on his chest.
It's with baseball cards.
And reading them.
And a Tom Brodansky card, like, glued to his forehead.
And like an Aladdin DVD underneath an arm, Finding Nemo.
It's a small world just playing in a loop.
Yeah.
And he's got the 1985 Fleer set like all over the bed.
I'm legitimately worried about him,
he's
man.
He's looking for that one Jose Akendo card that would have completed the set.
He's got old issues of the National out and he's where'd you go? Frank DeFord.
20 years old. I like that.
Yeah, that's what he's doing. I bet you he's just taking like his like the balls he's gotten from Fenway and throwing them through the windows.
He's just got this cranking at full volume.
You know what?
Yeah.
Roach is coming. Like, Rich has been sick, and I've contacted Roach at like 6 in the morning, and Roach has been here by 7.
Yeah. Yep.
He's not calling in today. He's not getting back to anybody.
Do you think he still has the baseball in his carry-on bag? I mean, does this mean he's away from baseball?
I'm not joking around. Something's going on.
Yeah.
I'm not joking around. He got back to me yesterday.
Dan says there's nobody there. There's nobody in Fort Myers.
The CBS Boston website, if you want their story, the byline says Boston. It's written. It says most Red Sox players have reported to camp. Everything that they have below that is copy and pasted with either other people tweeting pictures of players. And it doesn't say who wrote the article.
Well, that's just silly.
Well, that's a sad state of affairs. I mean, because that's got to be entirely budget.
Entirely budget, yeah.
Because there's no way that they didn't think that people wouldn't care about the Red Sox spring training. And pitchers and catchers, that's kind of the story. You know, the health of the pitchers and whatnot. But, you know, in all seriousness, something's going on with Dan. The idea that he will not answer the phone, or he responded to me yesterday, but it took like an hour.
He did get back to you. What did he say? Because I mean, that's you're the only one so far.
Get the camera off me,
okay? Because I have not. I just texted him for the first time just now, and he's usually very good about getting back.
Sure is.
Or responding to. I mean, we mentioned him yesterday, and usually he's listening and he'll respond on Twitter.
He said that sorry, he's not available today, but we can do this week.
Well, how about today? We're checking. The listeners are worried about your well-being, Dan Roach. We got to hear from you. All right? We just call us. Call you, kinda, you know the number.
He ate all the free popcorn in the bean pot last night up in the ninth level. He's got horrible diarrhea.
Is that what it is?
Of course.
That's
what it always is.
I don't know what this is, but it's labeled Roach Poem. And
goodbye, green grass. The time had passed. Way too fast. I tried to make it last. No more spikes or gloves or baseball bats. Or jerseys, pants, or baseball hats. I'll miss the fort. It was so much fun. I'll miss the warmth, the burning of the sun. No Petey or Poppy or Hanley too. No Clay, Pablo, it makes me go boo-hoo. Goodbye, Red Sox, we'll see you soon. But with the snow at Fenway, it may not be until June.
Oh, this just in, they arrested a naked and afraid Dan Roach. He was passed out on home plate at Fenway.
So that's where he went after the bean pot.
I won't leave.
He just went to Fenway.
Yeah.
He's just trying to take it out. Yeah. Billy Lane just tweeted, spring training without Dan Roach is like Christmas without Santa. It's true.
Yeah.
This is a sad situation.
No, it's true.
I'm legitimately upset for him.
I mean, he's separating the guy from what he loves the most in life. You've taken that away from him. You heartless bastards.
They found him with a belt on his arm and a needle stuck in it.
So it just said,
Ted Williams' seat.
That's right.
So it said Roach must have had a bad week at practice. Rumor was he was at the Jay Giles concert smoking weed.
Well,
it's a Butler situation. It's a Malcolm Butler situation. No. He had a bad week at practice.
He had too much coffee at a Hooters concert.
The Hooters?
I don't know. They were on an episode
and
of
we danced the waves of the ocean romance.
Well, he's not going to get back to us today. I can guarantee you that.
Well, that would be... I would truly be worried if he didn't get back to us. Like, that's... Unless he just like said, I'm done. Instead of, I got to find a happy place and just took an emergency trip to Disney World.
Well, he was at the Beanpot last night.
Or was he? Was he just like tweeting about it?
I don't know. Perhaps, yeah. Perhaps that's the situation. All right. Troy Brown should be here by the time we get back. Here are the headlines.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Down the middle, Troy Brown from the 45, to the 40, to the 30, Brown to the 15, to the 5, touchdown!
Right down the middle, watch Troy Brown, little hesitation, and then right up the middle, and such a big hole, that's what they wanted, a special teams scoring opportunity, they got it.
Wait, Phil Simms sounds different now.
What do you mean?
Sounds like a defeated man.
His voice has changed over the years.
He's been demoted.
Playing Troy Brown highlights and hearing Phil Simms.
You're old.
That's not old school.
That's right. Yeah.
you're getting old.
Troy Brown. We all are.
98.5 Sports. I'm Troy Brown in studio. He's having a football town hall this Thursday night at Bar Louie at Patriot Plates at 6:30. 21 and older. Troy, so good to see you.
Good to see you guys, man. Yeah. It's been a while.
It has been a while. Lane Johnson running his mouth. Your friend Teddy Bruschi has to step up and say something. I said, what did you think of him talking about how it's no fun being a member of the Patriots organization?
Yeah, I mean, I disagree with him. The guy can say whatever he wants to say. You know, that's the great thing about whatever platform you have. You can say, you know, you say what you want to say. That's fine. I know I had fun playing here as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Some people probably didn't have fun playing here. I'm probably sure there'll be guys in Philadelphia, you know, when we'll see when free agency hits.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
How many guys have kind things to say, you know, about Philadelphia when they're no longer a part of that team when free agency comes around. So it happens to everybody, you know, but I know I had fun. There's some guys that are probably won't agree with me on that I play with, you know, because that's just the nature of the business, you know. It's tough on some guys. And for me, it was easy, you know, because basically I just came in and did my work and did what I was supposed to do. But, you know, we had guys in there that did stuff. You know, they had their PlayStations or whatever, you know. I mean, they didn't really play them. We didn't really have time to do that type of stuff. We were working on our game. And,
yeah.
But guys had fun on the practice field. You know, we had guys out there clowning around. And, you know, so to take somebody at their word that didn't really know what happened here in New England, you know, I paid the guy no attention when he started talking like that. He's a sub promoter anyway, so.
What do you call it, Tom Brady, a pretty boy?
Nothing wrong with that either, you know. That's the nature of the business now. Guys are, you know, getting their own brands or whatever. I'm sure Lane's building his own brand or whatever that may be.
What the hell brand is he going to build?
I'm sure that's what he's trying to do, you know.
Yeah, but what's the end game? A clothing line?
It's going to be like mud flaps.
Mud flaps.
Yeah, I mean, he's a lineman or whatever. Not saying those guys aren't important, but, you know.
They're important on a football field, you know, but
just thinking.
He can say whatever he wants to say, but, I agree with Teddy on that side of it, you know. Not that he's my former teammate, but that's just, you know, we did what we had to do. You know, there's guys that, like I said, brought their PlayStations on road trips and played their play. I didn't play video games.
Wait, why would that be a big deal?
He makes it seem like everybody here was so miserable.
Were you ever frustrated that you, or did you see guys that were frustrated that you had to be so reserved with the media? And maybe if you wanted to build a brand, that wasn't possible being on the Patriots?
I don't think so. I saw guys probably more frustrated with normal stuff because they weren't playing like they think they should be playing.
Right.
Yeah, that's different.
But as far as anything else, I don't think Bill really didn't even care about. As long as you came to work and did your job, you know, and you didn't have to come in the next morning and have to deal with, I just flipped my car over 10 times, you know, or something. And you get arrested for something else the night before or something. He didn't have to deal with that. As long as you came to work and you were ready to do what you're supposed to do when you came through those doors, you know, so I don't think he really cared what you were doing.
Even with the media, how hyper aware was he about what you guys were saying in the media? And would he come down on guys and go, Jesus, what are you doing?
I think some of it, too, was kind of to protect the players, too.
Okay.
Because there were a lot of times you hear guys, you know, you get asked a question about some other guy's injury, and you get to go on to talking about it, and then you kind of stick your foot in your mouth.
Yeah.
You know, saying he'll be back next week, and then that guy's not back next week. And then you got to answer those questions. Well, Troy said you was back. You're going to be back next week. What happened with that, you know? He's a slow healer. He's soft. You know, you get to have to deal with those questions.
Yeah.
You know, so there were things like that. Just basically speak for yourself. You know, if you're going to say something, speak for yourself. And then don't get into a war, you know, with the media. I heard you guys talking earlier don't get into a war because you're never going to win that battle.
Marquise Flowers.
You're never going to win that battle. It's what you guys do every day.
Oh, yeah, because I find it funny.
Yeah, you have this platform.
Attack.
There's new ways to kind of attack now. I'm not playing. You got Twitter, all those things. But still, when are you going to have time to get on there and wage a war?
Yeah.
Eleven women. Marquise Flowers is saying that Bedard had not slept with 11 women. In your opinion, what percentage of men in this country have slept with more?
A lot.
Same with me.
I thought the majority hadn't slept with 11 women. Like I just thought, you know, there's a lot of gumps in the world, and then there's a lot of people who have girlfriends for a long time, and I just kind of figured that the averages
Rich has
would
been
play
with
out.
His wife since he was 8.
I got it right the first time. Not 8, but 8 more than 8.
Sorry,
13. 16.
Oh, okay.
All right, let's get it right.
Started dating when you were 14.
Yes, I mean, we can barely drive.
Marquise, I wish I, you know, just tell me, you know, just leave that battle alone, man. You know what I mean?
Does Bill bring that up? Like, if it was the season, if it was in the middle of the season, and he had done that and like tweeted back and forth with Greg Bedard, is that something that Bill Belichick calls out?
I don't know if he would call it out. Maybe it would catch somebody else's attention. You know, maybe some other player. I mean, you'd be like, dude, come on now. You can't be going back and forth with the media. You know, tweeting back and forth with guys about, you know, whose fault it was. Really, are you really even digging that much into what everybody has to say about your game? So, I mean, if you were really into your game that much, then you would just be listening to what Bill had to say.
Yeah.
You know, and not really reading the paper, whether it was good or bad. And that's one thing, I mean, you can't really read the paper because what somebody's tweeting about your articles, you know, you got to kind of stay away from it. Mm-hmm. And really, a lot of times when, you know, you see the papers or whatever, it's like when you go to your mom's house and she's got like all 15,000 copies of your name, that your name ever appeared in, you know.
Right,
like,
right.
Hey, you read the paper today, son, you know. And that's, you know, really, and that's really the only time you should be reading that kind of stuff. You know,
when mom brings it up.
When mom brings it up.
Well, well, who is the most antagonistic?
Because if it's good stuff, you might believe it, and you might, you know, you kind of cut back on your
Did your mom save?
You the junk.
Did your mom save?
Saved everything. Everything.
Even the bad stuff?
I probably. She saw my name. She probably saved it. So,
okay. So you go home and there's like a shrine to you?
It's just a stack of everything, man. Like, mom, you turn it into like a hoarder. You know?
Who had it out for you the worst? Like, I mean, like when you were, when the beat was, when you were playing, who on the beat had it out for you the worst?
Man.
Does he work at this radio station?
No. That's a guy, I don't even hear his name anymore. I think like Kevin Mannix.
Okay.
I'm going to name Kevin Mannix.
No. Kevin Mannix.
Yes. He's Chris's uncle.
Oh, okay. Chris Mannix.
He used to write for the Herald.
Yes,
used to write for the Herald.
He had his report card and everything.
He didn't like you?
So that was guys. Well, I think guys. See, I don't think he liked anybody. You know? So, but it was kind of like he had his report card. He was like one of the first people that I knew did the report card thing.
Yeah.
And
he didn't like you?
Oh, guys, guys hated it.
Now, really? How about Felger? You had Felger?
He graded tough.
Yeah, did he? Yeah. Not on a very good scale. So, yeah. But you dealt with Felger when he was doing the beat at the time, right?
Oh, yeah, man.
Told you.
I forgot Felger used to be. Yeah, how can I forget that?
How was he with
his
you?
Lambda sweater zone and stuff. He was
like a booger.
Yeah, man, he stood out.
Really?
Yeah.
So, when you guys just thought, when he would walk in, he's like, oh my goodness, when did Poindexter show up?
He reminded me of those guys. What was that? Trading Places, Constance Fry. That's the guys he reminded me of, man. You know,
so he came in and he was like a mashed potato sandwich with mayo on white. Like,
is this dude really in the locker room right now?
You think?
That's the guys that gave him some hard times. They gave him some hard times in there.
How about Shaughnessy?
I think he almost got beat up a few times in there, too. So.
Really? He did? Yeah. Felger? With who? Yeah.
Oh, it was who didn't want to beat him up? And that was Felger was like, yeah, he was a targeting man in that locker room. So
okay, yeah. So who hated him the most? Where was the most animosity coming from?
Man, who didn't he offend?
Yeah.
So I mean, everybody. I mean, all of his articles back then, you know, and obviously on the radio too. I think he kind of ticks off a little bit of everybody. So I think Willie McGinnis was mad at him, you know, for a while there, you know, but Corey Dillon, God, who else? I mean, there's a lot of big guys too. So
yeah.
A lot of big guys he ticked off, man. There's just a lot of people that wanted to kind of just smash him.
Did you guys ever laugh at Shaughnessy's hair when he was in front of you guys? It's tough not to.
Nah, I didn't. I always ran from the media back then, man.
Yeah?
Yeah. I knew what time they came in, so I came and grabbed my stuff, and I was out. Like, I got treatment. Yeah. So I was always hiding. I really didn't feel comfortable, you know, talking to anybody.
Troy, can you hang out for a minute?
I can hang out, man, as long as you need.
Excellent.
I don't have a job right now, so I'm just chilling, man.
All right. So Troy Brown is having a football town hall this Thursday night.
You know, you need sometimes a guy with a little bit of attitude.
Toucher and Rich.
Embarrassing to America.
One radio station. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Five, the Sports Hub. We're touching a Rich car number 10 right now. To the Pride Motor Group contest line 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to night one of Pearl Jam at Fenway Park, Sunday, September 2nd. What song is this?
This is Not For You, I believe, off of Vitology.
I like this. Tickets for both nights go on sale at 10 a.m. Wednesday, February 21st, through all of Ticketmaster outlets. Troy Brown in studio. He's having a football town hall this Thursday night at Bar Louie at Patriot Place with Narragansett Beer. He'll be with Mike Reese, and they'll have copies of their book, Patriot Pride. Now, Troy, you knew Brady back when, back when he was a young man. And now you see that he's real weird. So, would you ever in a million years expect Brady off the field to be the way he is now? Not in his personal life, but in terms of like the weird training and everything like that, and Would you ever have expected that in a million years? How weird is this for you?
No, I'm not surprised that he's gone to the limits he's gone to stay on the field. Because I just know how competitive he is. So, and looking for a way to get an edge. And I think he probably explored everything he could explore to try to be the best he could be for as long as he could be.
Would you... Okay, so there's been talk of controversy in the locker room because, or within the building, because Brady's going off campus to get this work done, and he's like kind of encouraging other people to do it. As a player, would you feel comfortable going over to that, or would you want to stay like in the team facility and deal with the team trainers?
It depends on how that worked. You know, if you're talking about going over there during work hours, then no, I wouldn't feel comfortable doing that during work hours. You know, that would be something that would have to take place off the clock,
right?
The Patriots time,
right?
You know, that's how I would feel about the situation. Which I did. I worked with Alex some with the soft tissue stuff. You know, I mean, stuff they're doing now. I mean, it was just more soft tissue stuff that there was no TB12 back then,
right?
You know, and I met him through McGinnis and those guys back then. So did some of the soft tissue stuff that I felt like helped me.
So it did help.
You know, that's what I felt. I felt like it helped me, the soft tissue stuff. Anyway,
okay.
What did he do? Because we saw a little of Tom versus Time.
Play him a little audio.
There were some aggressive massages being done. Like,
mine didn't sound like that.
Play him the one where they're in ecstasy.
You mean the one where it's like this? Is a...
Okay, relax there.
That feels good.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of them. I mean, there's a lot of...
My session didn't sound like that.
Okay.
It was just more soft tissue stuff, just trying to get the muscles to release around the joints and stuff, take a lot of the pressure off the joints. And,
yeah.
So, which, you know, kind of makes sense if you want to, you know, kind of maintain that... durability and pliability, you know, take some of the stress off the joints and then help the muscle heal a little bit more, that type of stuff. So that's the part I felt like helped me more than anything else. You know, I mean, the stuff they're doing now is on a whole nother level.
Yeah, because that article that came out, it made it seem that there are players who had to make a decision between what the trainers were saying, the official Patriots trainers and medical staff, and doing what the TB12 place wanted him to do, and they felt torn. Or there were players who were refusing to do what the Patriots trainers were doing because it was different than the TB12. Like, if you had to make a decision, which one would you have gone with? Tom Brady, the guy who's feeding you the ball, and the guy that you need to have on your side, and the official trainers?
I'll make a decision. Well, first of all, it would have to be what I feel comfortable with. And I think more for me, it would have been I felt more comfortable with this is what my boss is here.
Yeah.
These are the people that signed my check, you know, and this is the people that they've hired to take care of me in those needs. So you can believe in these guys and not believe in them, but these are the guys that are on Robert Kraft's payroll as athletic trainers and whoever else in the building. So whatever you want to do in your spare time, you know, then you do that in your spare time and not on the clock of Bill Belichick and the rest of the staff. So you got to have that respect for the trainers that are there and the strength coaches that are there that are hired to do that for the team. And then, you know, if this was the case that was going on there, then, you know, I just felt like, you know, that it could have been chaos there if that's how things were being ran. But
how much of that ESPN article did you?
You got to have respect for the people that are working there in the building.
Of course.
You know, because that there's no way you can work with this group, that group. You got five guys over here that don't want to see you and 10 guys over here that want to see somebody. There's no way that can be functional at all.
How much of that article did you believe?
I probably not a whole lot of it. You know, there's some stuff in there where maybe could have been a little bit true, but it was like it was I couldn't see, like, when I played, guys, staff members or whoever it may be, or other players meeting some guy down the street at a back room in a hotel or, you know, the back room at a restaurant, you know, going to tell their story. You know, that's just not how it worked when I played with the guys that I played with. So I think there was a lot of respect for each other.
Yeah.
You know, in that situation, if there was ever an issue, then you would go straight to Bill with it, you know, whatever. And that's how things kind of got. We had a lot of guys that weren't afraid to speak up, you know, would go in and handle the situation with Bill that way.
You think it's different now because there's the intimidation factor that since you've been there, he's won so much, and these are all guys who've come into the league and know nothing but Bill being Bill the winner, whereas when you got there, he was still earning his reputation.
Jabroni.
Was he easier to approach, do you think, than the guys believe he is now?
I would say, I mean, just not that I spent a lot of time with him, I would say he's probably easier to approach, but I can see how I put myself in the shoes of a young player, and you walk in that building and Tom Brady's still there for the 18th year.
Yeah.
And then Bill Belichick is there for what for the 18th, 19th, whatever it's been for him too. And all these championships, I think it probably could be somewhat intimidating for young players. It was probably intimidating for even like guys when we played, but I think guys just would speak up a little bit more, you know, especially like in captain's meetings and stuff like that. There was always that go-to guy that if you didn't feel comfortable going in, say something, you know, you go say something to one of the captains or something, it'll come up in a meeting or something that way. But I could see, you know, these guys probably being somewhat intimidating and starstruck when they walk into the building and that's what they have to see. And then, all this bling in their face and all the success in their face, and it's like, what do I say to Bill Belichick?
Right, right.
You know, but so we had guys like Rabel that would like bust on him in a heartbeat, like in the middle of our stretcher, like say something crazy to Bill, you know, like, and guys just like laughing.
How did Bill react? Like,
Bill would laugh. I mean, he liked it.
What would Rabel say?
He liked it. He would just say something about his clothes, whatever his Why was he late? Because, you know, every once in a while, Bill would walk out there late or something, and Rabel would give him hell for it, you know. And, you know, McGinnis and those guys, they had no problem busting on Bill whatsoever. So I don't know if any of those guys in that locker room, you know, would have the stones to do that.
Hell no! Bill, you know, so. Who on that team? Pick out someone on that current
gross
team
one?
Who would do that?
Who was the gross one? The guy that would take dumps?
Izzo.
How gross was Izzo?
He knew that immediately.
Izzo was gross.
Okay.
I think he was proud of it. So I think he had some crowning moments as being gross.
Okay, what it is? I'm fascinated by Izzo. Because in a locker room, it's tough to be gross. In a football locker room, it's tough to be like the gross guy. Like, what were some things that he would do?
One of the things he was known for in the locker room was just he would go to the bathroom. And he would drop a deuce on him. He would come back out and he would like, Izzo, you know you didn't wash your hands. You know, and it would be pretty obvious, like, he didn't wash his hands.
But he
would be like a guy, he's a guy that he actually took a dump on the sidelines. So, actually did it one time in his clothes. He would pee on himself. So, and he was like proud of it. Like, he didn't like have any shame about it whatsoever. He was just stood there like, what's the problem?
So, no, wait, is it true that he got like a game ball?
A big soccer ball size stain in the back of his pants. You know, guys sit there like, you know, guys are calling him. We had guys that was like during the game, man. The guys like, I can't really say the word on the air, but they were calling like, doo-doo, man. They would use the other word, you know, so, but
right.
It was like, doo-doo, man, during the game. So, and he was just standing there, like, waiting to go in the game.
Like, just like it was nothing.
Like, dude, did you just drop a deuce in your pants, man? Really? During the game? he actually the guys, like, take a thing, like, he did it on the side. He, like, did a whole crap on the sidelines, dude. Like, could you just run inside to the bathroom? Like, I mean, I think we found somebody to put in there for you or something if we need to.
Was it in a bucket or just right on the ground?
It was like in a bucket or something, man. He had guys hold a towel like around him and he just did it right there on the. I'm like,
can you imagine if your lot in life is you got to hold the towel up so Izzo can take a dump on the sidelines?
Did
he get a game ball for that?
Like that? I think I've heard some other stories about other guys and stuff, but you know, but this guy, yeah, I mean, I actually got to see this one with Izzo. So.
You know who used to hold that towel? Josh McDaniels. That was his first job. All right, we have to go to headlines.
Can
we'll
you stick
back
right after headlines? Just a couple of minutes. Okay,
I don't have a job.
Okay. All right. So, by the way, if you want to talk to Troy Brown, let's take some calls.
All right.
I don't have a job.
Okay.